Greetings, I'm Bob Geckler with a thought from Calvary. Hunger is defined as a craving or urgent need for food or a specific nutrient. Food is, of course, essential for life. Without the nourishment our bodies need, we become weak, sick, and ultimately die. The medical community and even our government have developed lists of just what nourishment we need each day to remain healthy. 60 milligrams of vitamin C, 1,000 milligrams of calcium, 2 milligrams of vitamin B6, and on and on. Then, there is the ever-popular food pyramid, showing how many servings of fats and sugars, meat and dairy, vegetables and fruit, breads and grains we should have. There are multitudes of diet programs and experts telling us what to eat, when to eat, and how much to eat. It keeps going and going, but we are still hungry. Indeed, there are many things we have a hunger for besides just food and, of course, water. Hunger is also defined as a strong desire, craving. We hunger for tangible things like ice cream, sweets, shelter, and clothing. But we also hunger for intangible things like love, affection, relaxation, adventure, security, knowledge, acceptance, justice, community, peace, and life. In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 51 through 58, Jesus tells us that He is the living bread that will satisfy our hunger. He said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I give so that the world may live." As usual, Jesus' words go right over the heads of those he is speaking to, and they argue about how Jesus can give them his flesh to eat. You and I hunger for food. We eat, some of us perhaps more than we should, and certainly in the United States, we eat very well and very abundantly. But no matter how much we eat, we will be hungry again. We will need to eat again simply to go on living. Jesus, however, promises to give us bread to eat that will satisfy our hunger forever. When the Israelites were in the desert, starving, dying of hunger, as recorded in the book of Exodus, chapter 16, God provided them bread, manna from heaven. It would satisfy their hunger, but like us, they would be hungry again. The bread that Jesus gives will never leave you hungry, because it is living bread, His flesh, His very being. Not food for our stomachs, but food for our souls. In the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, we find a Samaritan woman at a well. Jesus asks her for a drink, something a proper Jewish man would not ask of a Samaritan woman, hence she found it to be a very odd request. Jesus, of course, was using the situation to teach. When she asked him how he could ask her for a drink, he answered her, "If only you knew what God gives and who it is that is asking you for a drink, you would ask him, and he would give you life-giving water." And he further said, "Whoever drinks this water, that is, the water from the well, will get thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring that will provide him with life-giving water and give him eternal life." Hunger and thirst are very similar concepts. Both are cravings and indications of a particular need to sustain life itself. Jesus wants to give us life, abundant life. He cares for our mortal needs, our hunger, our thirst, our need for clothing and shelter. His solution to those needs does not drop from the sky as manna from heaven, however. You and I are His solution. He looks to us, His followers, to feed, clothe, and care for those in need. As recorded in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25, I tell you, whenever you did this for one of the least important of these my brothers, you did it for me. The bread Jesus wants us to eat is His flesh. He wants us to drink His blood. We are to take within ourselves the very essence of Christ to make that Christ a part of us, much as the food we eat becomes part of the makeup of our physical bodies. We take Christ within us when we share the Lord's Supper. But there's more to it. We are to be like Jesus. We are to love and care for our brothers and sisters as He would. And we are to show the world the ways of Jesus. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 15 to 20, we hear these words. So be careful how you live. Don't live like ignorant people, but like wise people. Make good use of every opportunity you have, because these are evil days. Don't be fools, then, but try to find out what the Lord wants you to do. Do not get drunk with wine, which will only ruin you. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with the words of psalms, hymns, and sacred songs. Sing hymns and psalms to the Lord with praise in your hearts. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, always give thanks for everything to God the Father. We are to be wise. We are to find out what the Lord wants us to do. By taking in the essence of Jesus, we can do that. Indeed, the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, is important. But so too is the study of God's Word as it is revealed to us in Holy Scripture. By reading, by studying, by listening to Jesus' words and teachings, we can take into ourselves the very body, the flesh and blood that is Jesus Christ. We will become His body. We will live like wise people, living in Christ's image. To live, we must nourish our bodies. To live eternally, we must nourish our souls. By taking in that blessed being of Jesus, we are offered eternal life with Him. Are you hungry? Then eat the living bread that came down from heaven, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Please join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, make us wise and faithful servants, that through us your love, your life, your death, and your resurrection may be known. May our thirst and our hunger always be satisfied by the life-giving water and the living bread of heaven. In your holy name, amen. With a thought from Calvary, I'm Bob Geckler. May the peace, the grace, and the Spirit of Christ be upon you.